Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Two words that change everything. If you haven't figured it out yet, you will in due time figure out that life has problems and struggles. Did you know that as you read the Gospels, every place Jesus went, he found somebody he could minister to? They needed comfort in one sort or another. Today, people hurt. Everyone in this room is carrying some kind of a burden. When you drive home this afternoon, every car you pass, that person or persons is carrying a burden. Everywhere you go, when you sit at a traffic light and those cars go before you, they're carrying a burden. Because this world is suffering under the burden of sin. Yes, believers, we carry burdens. We carry burdens. The world carries burdens from work, finances, human interaction, disappointments, needs, and the list goes on and on and on. And if each one of us could get up here this morning and give a testimony and say, I am struggling or carrying this, we would agree, amen. We all carry a burden. Every person carries a burden. How do we overcome these? Do we take a second job? Do we go back to school? Do we relocate? Do we refinance our home or car? And the list goes on. But have you figured out these are not always viable options? There are times when we really look at the options, and sometimes they do work for some people. But many times you look at your problems, you say, what am I supposed to do? Getting a second job may be an answer. Maybe. I'm not saying it's not, but you know what? It takes time. It adds stress. More responsibilities. Now I've got more time taken out of my week and I still have these responsibilities to tend to. Maybe you don't have the time or the opportunity for further schooling. You have too many other responsibilities. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Maybe some of you can refinance and that helps. Maybe sometimes that's not viable. We don't qualify. Or maybe it only postpones the inevitable. Moving? Does that guarantee relief? Maybe we take the opportunity, we relocate only to find that was not the answer. But we all carry burdens. Every person has a burden. Today I want to share with you two words that change everything. Is life hopeless? The economy can be very discouraging. Our economy is bad. Yes, we have some signs of things picking up, but fundamentally speaking, our country's in financial trouble. You cannot carry a $16 trillion debt and ignore it. Somebody eventually has got to pay the bill. You watch the news, it seems to get worse every day. Wars and unrest continue around the world. It seems like our government never solves a problem, but boy, we can pass bills on some kind of silly nonsense. But don't deal with root issues like fiscal responsibility. Listen, I understand there are some things that are not as monumental as our economy. But let's deal with the issues. But what are you going to do about it? People have tried driving to Washington and protest. Do you see Congress changing? Saw a bumper sticker, stop repeat offenders. Don't reelect them.
Amen.
Amen. You know, our hope is not in the Democrats or the Republicans or the Libertarians or the Independents or go on down the line. Our hope is in God. Amen. Yes, I am registered with a political party because we have to if we're going to be in the system and participate. But my hope is not in a political party, and I hope yours isn't either. Because Democrats, Republicans, and on down the list are going to disappoint us. Did you know the cost of living is increasing with no end in sight? What's the answer? God. God. And I'm going to give you two words today that should change everything. Did you know when God formed Adam and Eve out of the dust of the ground, he took Adam? He made us from the beginning to be dependent upon him. God did not intend us to be able to successfully live a life without dependence on him. We must be dependent upon him. That's how he created us. Therefore, the only true and lasting and effective answer is in God. We can't see many times. Look at your first verse. 2x plus 3 equals 11. Life without God makes no sense. I want to think about that in light of an algebraic equation there. As you look at 2x plus 3 equals 11, okay, some of you are saying that's easy. You got the answer already. Some of you are saying, you know, I never did well in algebra. We see 2, we see a plus, we see a 3, we see an equal sign 11, but that x is like, what is this? It's that unknown that we don't get, that we have to solve for to understand. I get the 2, the 3, and the 11, but this x stuff doesn't make any sense to me. The reality, though, is if you take x out of that equation, now it really doesn't make sense. Now it really doesn't make any sense. Because then you're left with 2 plus 3 equals 11. And that doesn't make any sense. Therefore, we must put the x back in the equation and say, I don't get it, but somehow somebody told me now it makes sense. And how many times is that the way we are with God? We look at life and we have this unknown. It doesn't make sense, but you take that unknown out. It really doesn't make sense. There are two prevailing solutions to this algebraic equation. One, we don't understand X, so therefore we resolve ourselves to it cannot be solved. We abandon our effort and we go on living with confusion and an unsolved equation. Or we apply ourselves to learn about X and the rest of the equation. We take the time to learn to apply ourselves, and the reward is worth it. I understand now what that is saying, and I realize X is very important, and X is understandable. So it is with spirituality. We understand certain circumstances of our life, but we have unknown X out there. Lord God, all I know is I can't pay my bill. My job isn't what I hoped it would be. I've got financial struggles. I have got work issues. I've got health issues. I've got a car that needs repaired, and the list goes on. I am so mired in these, I cannot see the unknown. We cannot take X out of the equation algebraically. We cannot take God out of our daily living. It will not make sense. Try however you may. It doesn't work. God is the unknown in the equation of life. But like X in that algebraic expression, God can be known. And therefore life can make sense. But the problem is we lean on those things that we know. Take a look at it. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. See, the first half of that verse, trust in the Lord with all your heart, that's X. And we tend to take that out of the equation, trusting God. Because we are so burdened down with our own understanding. Finances, work, health, human interaction, and the list goes on. And we tend to take matters in our own hands, taking God out of the equation, and guess what? We're going to be frustrated. In the early days of emigration to the West, a traveler once came for the first time in his life to the banks of the mighty Mississippi. There was no bridge. He must cross. It was early winter and the surface of the mighty river was sheeted with ice. He knew nothing of its thickness, however, and feared to trust himself to it. He hesitated long, but night was coming. And he must reach the other shore. At length, with many fears and infinite caution, he crept out on his hands and knees, thinking thus to distribute his weight as much as possible, and trembling with every sound. When he had gone in this way, painfully halfway over, he heard a sound of singing behind him. There, in the dusk, was a man driving a four-horse load of coal upon the ice and singing as he went. Many Christians creep tremblingly out upon God's promises, where another, stronger in faith, goes singing through life, upheld by the same word, have faith in God. There are Christians that tremble. There are Christians that put their head on their pillow and go to sleep at night because they have faith in God. In the midst of all of life's trials. Can there really be two words that truly will help you in your daily living? Yes, there are. If we don't have these two words, folks, the truth is we are people most helpless. Hopeless. These two words are simple yet profound, and they truly have the power to transform your thinking in every matter of every situation that comes your way. You must take these words with you every place you go, whatever you do, and whatever challenges arise. Because if you take these and you apply them, they will change your life. Are there really two words? Is there really a wonder cure? You know, the medical field calls a one pill that cures all, they call it a panacea. It's an expression we can use other places too, but I want to kind of focus on the medical field. Imagine you have one bottle of pills and they cure everything. It's called a panacea. No matter whether I have a hangnail or I have cancer, if I take that pill, it cures it. It's called a panacea. Is there really a pill like that? No, medically speaking, there is no pill like that. Many years ago, I worked for a large corporation. They had a company policy. You're not allowed to hire part-time help for summer. One of the vice presidents pulled strings, and his son was stationed in our department for the summer. People were bothered by the violation of the rule, but I must admit he was a fine young man. I used to joke with him. He did have quite a sense of humor. And somehow our theme became to the other, we don't do anything around the company. And we understood, both of us, very healthy relationship. We were both kidding. Well, one day I was walking and I passed him and he said to me, "Just what do you do around here?" In his joking tone, I knew he was kidding, and my answer was, "I am the company panacea." I said, "What do you do around here?" And he said, "I am the company placebo." "I don't do anything around here." "I am the company placebo." Don't know whatever happened to him, but he was a nice guy. Is there a panacea for our life's problems? I want to give you two words that no matter what comes your way, I want you to use these words. I want you to remember the full impact of these words. And they are this: but God. Whatever comes your way, I want you to remember those two words: but God. And I want to take a few minutes this morning and consider the full impact of those two words, because they really are life-changing. You see, life taken apart from God doesn't work. Just like X out of the equation, everything breaks down. But when we put God in the equation, when we think about life circumstances, we think about work, we think about human interaction, we think about health, we think about, the list goes on. And we start to get discouraged and we say, "But God, don't take God out of it. This cannot be successfully done." We have a God who is omniscient. He is all-knowing. We have a God who's omnipresence. He is present everywhere. And we have a God who's omnipotent. He is all-powerful. But let me take you a step better than that. Those three attributes are what are called the sovereignty of God. He is King of kings, Lord of lords, amen, end of subject. But I have better news for you yet. Not only is he King of kings, Lord of lords, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present, he uses it in your life. He is not a God up in heaven with a hands-off approach, just letting this world spiral out of control. He is a God who truly wants to be intimately involved in your life and every person's life, guiding and directing us. Therefore, when we are confronted with life's trials, tribulations, no matter what they are, we must always include, "but God." But God. Jackie Robinson was the first black person to play Major League Baseball. Breaking baseball's color barrier, he faced jeering crowds in every stadium. Players would stomp on his feet and kick him. While playing one day in his home stadium in Brooklyn, he made an error. The fans began to ridicule him. He stood at second base humiliated while the fans jeered. Then shortstop Pee Wee Reese came over and stood next to him. He put his arm around Jackie Robinson and faced the crowd. The fans grew quiet. Robinson later said, "That arm around his shoulder saved his career." We are sometimes like Jackie Robinson, full of shame. Sometimes like Jackie, our shame is from nothing we've done. Sometimes it's from our own sin and guilt. But like Pee Wee Reese, Jesus comes and slips his arm around us. But God, we cannot, we must not take God out of the equation. Comfort can be found in God. I want us to think about how this can truly help, and I want to think about the unsaved and the saved. We have a God in heaven who has created this whole world. He loves us and He provides for us that we do not have to spend eternity separated from Him. Please take a look at 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. You see, God loves us so much, He does not want anyone to be separated from Him forever. He has provided the way of salvation. Therefore, as we read John 16, 8 through 11, we see that when He, referring to the Holy Spirit, is come, because of the love of God, because He saw our helpless estate, He sent this Holy Spirit. He will reprove the world of sin. He's not willing that any should perish. He sends a Holy Spirit to convict people of their sin and their need of a Savior. Because God loves us and God does not want to see any suffer eternal judgment. Please look at Romans 5:8. But God. The unsaved live in a condition separated from God because of their sin debt. They need a Savior, but they're not hopeless. Because God in His love sent His Son, but God commendeth His love to usward in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so it is when the sinner realizes his need of a Savior, God has provided but God. But I want to move on. We'll come back to that in a little bit. I want to move on to speak to the saved people. How does but God affect our lives and our daily living? God has purpose for every person. Before the foundation of this world, He had purpose. He knew you before this world existed. And He had a plan and a purpose. That's why you were born when you were, where you were, and all the details of your life. For a purpose. You're not an evolutionary accident. You're designed by an almighty God for a purpose. The seeming coincidences in life are really designed by an all-powerful, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent God. He knows. He cares. He guides. He directs. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. God did start, and He is going to continue to work in your life. Sometimes we kick, scream, and reject His leading, and other times we say, "Yes, Lord," and we obey. But the bottom line is God says, "I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep working, because I have plans for you." Therefore, even when we see the bad things in our life, and I put bad in quotes here, it's really the hand of God. But God. But when we see God in our challenges, our thinking must change when we truly see God. I want you to think about the believer that just got fired from his job. What's the natural reaction? Hurt? Very believably, there's going to be a time of blame shifting, denial. But when we think of God, we should think this way. This is very unpleasant. I am confused, but God is working. Maybe the believer does have to learn some lessons. Maybe the believer has been faulty in his performance on the job. Maybe God is moving the believer. I don't know what God is doing, but I know this. God's doing something. That I'm sure of. But God. Then the believer thinks, but God has begun a good work in me, and He promised to continue that work. I don't understand why this happened, but God. And the person begins to see life differently because God is working, and I put my faith in that. Can we think of too many people more that suffered than Joseph in the book of Genesis? Sold by his brothers into slavery. taken down to Egypt, sold to Potiphar, accused of immorality by his wife, sentenced to jail, forgotten in prison. Let us read Acts 7:9 as it reflects back on this story that's in Genesis. And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. Folks, whatever trials may come your way, but God. And he delivered him out of all his afflictions. He did. He kept him in jail. Yes, and God was with him. There are going to be trials and tribulations, but God. And gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. There's purpose. Joseph, I need you, first of all, to get moved. Joseph would never voluntarily say, you know, guys, I think I'm going to move to Egypt. God had to move him. Was it pleasant? No. During those years of bondage, did you know that he had to learn the language of Egyptian because they didn't speak Hebrew in Pharaoh's palace? He would never have signed up for correspondence courses to learn Egyptian. God had to put him in a place where you're going to need this, buddy. Now learn it. God had purpose in it all, but did you know he never told Joseph? Joseph just had to trust. Trust me, I know this is uncomfortable, but I'm in it. Trust me, I've begun a good work in you, I will perform it. I can't guarantee you that you're going to be the head of Egypt, but I know this, we're preparing for eternity, and we will rule and reign with him. Don't forget that. And so it is, as we reflect on the trials and tribulations in the hand of God, we may say, life is not fair, but God. I was wronged, but God. I had a poor childhood, but God. I was lied to, but God. I was unjustly accused and punished, but God. I wasn't allowed to defend myself, but God. God can only do good. Did you know that? God can only do good. Folks, we must find our strength in God. I have here a power strip. You plug this thing in the wall, and it has the capacity to distribute power six ways. If you plug this in a wall, those outlets have voltage to run several appliances. What if I take this thing, plug it in here? It cannot get power within itself. It's worthless. But I plugged it in. It's worthless. Folks, when we're plugged into ourselves, it's not going to work. We have got to find our strength in God. Don't take X out of the equation. But God. But God. When we're plugged into God for daily living, things happen. We find strength and peace we could never find in ourselves. Life will always have problems. God never promised to take them away. He promised to give us the strength and grace to go through them because he's got a bigger picture. Truly, this world is a spiritual battlefield. It's not a game, it's reality. But God must not be denied. There is purpose in all of this. These two words, but God, work well for the saved and the unsaved. The unsaved are able to find salvation through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they don't appreciate it until they're brought face to face with that decision. That's good news for them when they finally are illuminated of their need of a Savior and trust Jesus Christ. The saved can rejoice in these two words because their trials of life have purpose. Life is unpleasant sometimes, but they can confidently say, but God. We must see the unseen hand of God in everything we do. 2 Corinthians 4:16. For which cause we faint not, but though our inward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Yes, life is tough. But inside we find a strength that comes from the Lord. For our light affliction, written by a guy who was shipwrecked, beaten, stoned, rejected, imprisoned, our light affliction which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Here it is, ready? While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. That's X in the algebraic equation. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. But God changes your whole thinking and your life. Our thinking is, I don't understand, but God. I don't agree with, but God. I don't think this is best, but God. I don't like what's happening, but God. I don't get to be included, but God. I don't get to express my opinion, but God. I think this is wrong, but God. But when we really take it to a true appreciation of the power of but God, then our thinking becomes, but God knows. But God has a plan. But God knows more than I do. But God is doing something good. But God knows how this will all work together. But God tells me to trust Him. But God really does care for me. But God really has not forgotten me. But God could stop this injustice in a moment. But God will not allow anything to happen to me that He has not approved. But God, it changes everything. Tomorrow when you're discouraged, but God. Tomorrow when your boss wrongs you, but God. Tomorrow when your car doesn't start, but God. God is in it all. Take a look at Psalm 76:10. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. Maybe your boss is going to get angry at you tomorrow, just like Joseph's brothers were angry at him, and they sold him into slavery. The wrath of man shall praise thee. Their anger at Joseph sold him into slavery, down into Egypt, exactly where God wanted him. Thank you. Is someone going to get mad at you? God says, it's going to praise me. Are you going to get fired? It's because I need you to be somewhere else. The wrath of man shall praise thee. But look at this, the remainder of wrath. If it's not going to do God's will, thou shalt restrain. He says, I'll stop that. They wanted to kill Joseph, was the original plan. That's not going to do God's will. So God says, no, I won't let that happen. But I will let you sell him into slavery, because that's going to take him exactly where I need him. The wrath of man praises God, but God. When we don't understand life's circumstances, but God, even angry people, God says, I will use that anger to praise me. All you're going to do is just do my will. That's exactly what the brothers did when they sold Joseph. As awful as it was, as wrong as it was, God was in it. That's the God we serve. We saw in Acts 7, 9 and 10, a very brief synopsis of the brothers selling Joseph. But I want us to go to Genesis chapter 45. This is the time now where Joseph has now revealed himself to his brothers. The trial is over. They're now before him. He has spoken his first words of Hebrew to them. He said to them, I am Joseph. I hope God replays that moment in heaven. I want to see the jaws drop. That all of a sudden this guy that's been dressed in Egyptian garb has been speaking Egyptian, all of a sudden out of the blue says, I'm Joseph in perfect Hebrew. Do you know the thoughts that must have gone through their mind? He's going to kill us. He hates us for what we did. We were so wrong, and now he's got all power over us. And Joseph continues to speak in Genesis 45. And I want you to see this. This is so powerful. Genesis 45, 4. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. They came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. And there must have been felt with terror. Terror! Now, therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me. He didn't deny it. For God did send me. God was in it. God used your anger to get me to Egypt. Please look at 6. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me. before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth to save your lives by a great deliverance. God had purpose in all of that awfulness, in all of the pain, in all of the anger. God says, you will praise me. Please look at verse 8. So now it was not you that sent me hither, underline it, but God. Are there two words that can change our thinking in the midst of the most awful situations and circumstances of life? Yes. But God, will life hurt? Do you think it hurt Joseph to be sold into slavery, to be cast into prison and to be forgotten there? But God was with him. But God. Life is all about God. It is not about us. He has a grand plan. It is for us to submit to it. It is for us to live daily seeking his face, how we can please him. But God. Believer, take those words with you wherever you go, whatever circumstance comes your way. But God. Maybe some of you don't know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. Maybe you're back to the but God while we were yet sinners. Let me take a moment and share with you the good news that you can find in but God. Let that hand represent you and me. Let that represent every person that's ever come upon the face of the earth, and let that billfold represent sin. God says, I love you. I hate the sin. God does not hate the sinner. God loves the sinner. He hates the sin. And that sin separates the sinner from an eternal God. And if we die with that debt on us, we will spend eternity separated from God. And he is not willing that any should perish. And so in his infinite wisdom, his infinite love, he provided the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, born of a virgin, born in Bethlehem, lived the perfect life. He was God in the flesh. And he gave up his life. He was unjustly accused, and yet he went willingly to that cross. He hung there, paying the sin debt of the world. It was placed upon him, and he gave up the ghost. 3 days and three nights in the tomb, the debt was paid. How do we go to heaven? When we realize in the quietness of our mind, I get it. I'm a sinner. God loves me. He hates the sin, but God, while we were yet sinners, but God, he saw this helpless condition, and he sent his Son, Jesus Christ. I get it. It's not my good works. There's nothing I can do to get rid of that sin debt. It's what Jesus did. I put my faith in him and him alone for my eternal salvation. The moment you believe, you have eternal life. For God so loved the world, but he hated the sin, that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever, whichever sinner, believes in his work of redemption, and that alone, shall not perish. God's not willing that any should perish. Shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I get it. I get it. I thought it was my good works. I thought it was my good works and Jesus. I don't know what I thought. I thought God graded on a curve. I don't know what I thought. Now I get it. I'm a sinner, and I have to trust Jesus Christ and his work alone. And that is where we have salvation. It's not me. I can't get rid of it. Jesus, he could. I trust him. And he is the one, when I put my trust in him, I have everlasting life. I used to think it was my good works. It's not my good works. It's what Jesus did. You don't have to walk an aisle, raise a hand, have water baptism, take communion, give money. None of these things. That would be a good work. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's when you there in the quietness of your seat, in the quietness of your mind, God knows your thoughts. I get it. Jesus paid my sin debt. It's not my good works. I get it. I trust Jesus and him alone for my salvation. God says, whosoever believeth should not perish. That is the moment salvation occurs. Too many times people impress works upon a salvation message. This ought not to be. Folks, salvation is when you trust Jesus Christ and him alone for your eternal life. Christian, I want to challenge you this morning. But God. But God. in all that you do in this life but God.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.